Matthew chapter 1, and we've been going through the month of December and looking at the wonderful birth of our Lord and Savior. And I know we go through this each year, but it's a great reminder for us to remember all that Christ did for us, all that Christ did for us. I want to encourage you to truly study this holiday season, the birth of Christ. Don't just gloss over it. Study it. Study it for yourself. And I guarantee you'll be blessed by it. Matthew chapter number 1, if you will, pick up there in verse 18. Matthew 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Very familiar portion of Scripture to us today, and I hope it is to you. But again, wonderful, wonderful, and amazing event that took place, many thousands of years ago, that we today are still celebrating. And I hope you do celebrate it. I really do. As we look at this morning, we see the birth of Christ, and we've studied already and looked at how the great prophet Isaiah in chapter 9 of his book speaks of that coming Messiah. And he makes reference and he calls him several names, doesn't he? He shall be what? Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Counselor, all the things that he's described as. We looked at the deity of Christ and how he was God manifested in the flesh. He was not just a good teacher. He was the very God, man, manifested to take away your sins and mine. He died on that cross for us. We know that. And that's what he did. We studied that and looked it over. As we approach this Christmas season, I know that you are getting ready in the hustle and bustle of everything, and everything's very busy. Everything's very clamorous at times. It's very loud at times. You got a lot going on. But I want to encourage you to take some time and just slow down a little bit and remember what Christ did for you and for me. He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for us. I think about the world today. You know, they copy and emulate most of the Bible. I'm talking about the world, the unsaved world. Hollywood especially. The movies they put out, it's all from the Bible. I don't advocate or promote these movies, but you've seen the movie Home Alone, okay? Home Alone, what is it? I was thinking about that. Well, if you study, I think most of you have seen it. It's a child being, what, pursued after, particularly two men. One man is a Jew. One man's an Italian. Roman. You got the Jews and the Romans pursuing this child. Where'd they get that from? The Bible, didn't they? You have the Jews and the Romans persecuting and pursuing this child. You remember what the king did? As Jesus Christ was born, the wise men came and said, where is he? The king of the Jews, where is he, the Messiah? He got nervous, didn't he? He said, well, when you find him, let me know. I want to come worship him as well. That lion snake, that fox, Jesus calls him. He's a conniving, deceitful man. Well, when he figures out the wise men turned the other way and didn't come, they went away after the angel of the Lord told him so. What's he do? He goes to, oh, little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. And what does he do? Murders all the babies. Sounds like America today, doesn't it? Murders all the babies. And he murdered all of them so that he can make sure that that Messiah, in his futile attempt, didn't work, that Messiah would not be born and that Messiah would not come to life, come and raise and become a man. And eventually, what? He knew what was going to happen. He knew that he would, who he was, and sadly, today, many people don't know who he is. That's exactly what it is. I'm just talking about the copycat of our world today. I think about other movies like that. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Well, what is it? It's an outcast reindeer. that's persecuted by what? His brethren, his brothers, his family. And what happens? Well, here comes Santa Claus. Rudolph with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? He's chosen. He's the chosen one of the Father. It's a Wonderful Life we talked about. I love that movie. It's a long movie. You ever watch it? You ever try and watch it on when the TV, NBC or whoever airs it with all the commercials? You're there for 6 hours. I mean, you're going, what happened to the time? That's exactly, what is it? It's a man that lived his whole life working for money, working for all the treasures and things. And it's funny, by the way, how individuals, they work their entire life and they neglect family and marriage and everything else to get the buck, to get the dollar. And when sickness or something comes into their life, they'll pay anything to get better. Isn't that fascinating? This man works his entire life, and what happens at the end? He has to come to this whatever. It's not biblical, but he comes to this conclusion that what? It's not about money. It's not about making money. It's not about getting a promotion at work and running the family business. It's what? He realized it's all what? At home. His wife and kids, that's the most important thing. Now, for us as Christians, we know the most important thing is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow that. But I'm just talking about today, this world emulates, this world copycats the things that are in the Word of God. And you know why some of us don't know that? Because we don't know the Bible. And I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Some of you may be in the silver years of your life. It's time to read the Bible. And you're doing yourself a disservice by not studying this book. Oh, I don't believe in the Bible. A Bible that has been attempted to be destroyed thousands of times over human history, and yet we still have it today. I would encourage you to do your own study. You owe yourself to study this book. You owe it to yourself to read this book through. Sad to say, most people have never read this book. Oh, it's too big. It's too archaic. I don't understand it. That's what people say that have never read it. You need to read the book. We're approaching in here about a week, 2 weeks or so. The new year, January the 1st, falls on a Sunday. Praise God, I like when that happens. We get to start out in the right way. And I want to encourage you in the new year, take time and make it a New Year's resolution. I'm going to read this book. I'm just going to read it. You may not believe it. You may not, I don't know. I'm going to read the book. Why? You owe it to yourself. You really do. And to find out what this book says, and to find out what God did and how He came, and we're going to look at this morning, the incarnation of our wonderful Savior. This birth is unique. We know that. It's one of its kind. Now, we studied this already, so please forgive me of the repetition, but let me just read you these verses once again. It's unique because it was foretold in detail long before it happened. Do you realize the wise men came almost on the exact day? How did they figure that one out? They studied the Word. How did they figure that out? Genesis 49, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from heaven, from between his feet until Shiloh come. Well, who's Shiloh? We know who that is. Prophesied. He'd be born in Israel to the tribe of Judah. He'd be born to the family of David. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, and when thy days shall be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I'll set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of my bowels, and I will establish his kingdom forever. He'd be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth that shall be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. My friends, the prophecies of this book are spot on. And again, I encourage you, owe it to yourself to read this book and study it. He'd be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I wonder what Emmanuel means. Well, I'm glad the Bible says it for us. God with us. Not good teacher with us. Not a good man with us. Not a good righteous holy guy with us. What's it say? God with us. That's Jesus Christ. Manifested in the flesh. I'm glad. We know that. This virgin birth. There was no sexual relationship between the Holy Ghost and Mary. No, that's heretical teaching. It was a divine birth, wasn't it? The very Son of God born unto this virgin girl. It was unique. It was unique also because of that virgin birth. It was unique because it was God becoming man. We know that. We studied these, so I must move ahead. He was God manifested. He grew as a man. He hungered and ate as a man. He thirsted as a man. He slept as a man. I like the t-shirt I saw it the other day, and I want this t-shirt if you find it. Jesus took naps. We should take naps. Amen. I like that. How many like naps? Everybody in here? A few of you? Some of you don't like naps. Okay. I guess you're better than us. He learned to study, learned to pray. He was tempted as a man, wasn't he? Matthew 4, he was tempted by the devil. And he says, get the hints. And it blew him backwards. No, he didn't. What did he do? He used the Bible. Why did he do that? The all-powerful creator God, as we studied last week, Jesus Christ, Colossians 1 and 2 talks about that. Jesus created all things, and they were all created by him and for him. He created everything. He was all-powerful. We read that in Matthew 28. Jesus says, all power is given unto me. He could have blown the devil backwards, but he didn't do that. He said, it is written. It is written. It is, why? For us today. How do we defeat the adversary? We run to the book. Well, devil, it's written. He gets on your shoulder and says, you're not good enough. You're nobody. Nobody's ever loved you. You can't do it. Look at you. That's what he does. He's a divider. He's deceptive. He's deceitful. He's degrading. That's what he does. And when you come to those points in life, you don't run and trying to figure things out on your own because you realize very quickly, yeah, I'm not very good. I can't do those things. What do you do? You go to the book. Well, the Bible says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that I'm unique and God made me special just the way I am. We try and encourage the children. Some of them get that way sometimes. Well, I'm not good like her. I don't have what she has or he has. You're unique. God made you that way. And if you allow God to take your talents and who you are, it's an amazing thing. I've seen it time and time again in the life of people. If you let God take the things that he's made you in a unique way, maybe you see as a downfall or a shortcoming, you allow him to have those things, he'll use them in a very precious, wonderful way for his honor and glory. And only you can reach the people that have maybe the same kind of ailment or same kind of problem. That's what Paul said to the church. Don't let your comfort go to waste, your problems go to waste. Use that to comfort other people that are going through the same problems. So we see he's unique. He experienced each phase of human life. Yet Jesus Christ, if you read your Bible, never failed. Never failed. He never made a mistake. You say, oh, that's cliche. I don't believe that. Study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel, he never made one mistake. He never made an oopsie. Oh, guys, we went the wrong way. Oh, I healed the wrong person. I apologize. Never. He never lied. He never stole. He never made a mistake. And the Bible's very clear in the New Testament, repeated throughout the New Testament, peppered throughout the New Testament. Jesus was sinless. We call it the impeccability of Christ. He's impeccable. You can't say that about Muhammad. You can't say that about Buddha. You can't say that about Confucius. They all self-admitted they were sinful. Jesus Christ was a sinless Son of God. Therefore, he could die on that cross for us. A sinful man that lied and stole and was perverted died on that cross. Good, whatever, I don't care. He couldn't die for my sins. It wouldn't matter a hill of beans. But a man who died who was perfect and sinless, a man who came to this earth, who was the very Son of God, who was the Messiah man, who never once sinned, who had pure blood within him. The Bible says he was righteous, and in him was no sin. That man could die on that cross for my sins. He could do that. He could do that. He experienced all the things that we experience, and Hebrews says he went through all that we went through, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Jesus Christ is the second man. He was miraculously created. The first man was Adam, you know that. He was brought forth from the dust of the earth. He was tested at one point. Did he succeed in that test? Adam failed. He failed. Therefore, there must be a second Adam. Because of our fail, do you see the grace and mercy and love of our Lord? Because we failed, he created a second. He sent forth his son, born of a virgin. The uniqueness. He's unique in his God-man, we call it. The Emmanuel, God with us. He's the incarnation of the Godhead. Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the eternal God from eternity past, the everlasting God. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know who he's talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. the Word is always likened to Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, at the very end of all things and of all time, the Bible says, out of His mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. There's two meanings to that, but one of them being that He will judge every human being that's ever lived out of this book. He's made it fair for us. Because there are people standing and say, Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to. You ever worked for somebody that you didn't know what they expected from you? I didn't know I was supposed to do that. You never told me that. You never explained that to me. He makes it fair for everybody. I never knew I was supposed to. No, it's in the book. I didn't know I was supposed to. It's in the book. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. It's in the book. Oh, my friends, you know that. The birth of our Lord has a true and definite effect on this world. Let me say. It changed the way we really count the years, if you will. It forces the world to give some attention to it every single year. The great effect is in what God accomplished by sending His only begotten Son to this world. When Jesus Christ came, He affected the world like no other man ever did and ever will. Never did. Let me say under this point, I must hurry here, but He revealed the true character of God. He revealed the character of God. You ever gotten to know somebody before and then you realize who they really were? That's called marriage, isn't it? I counsel folks. Marriage is the top counseling issue. And guess what it is? Well, I thought he was... I expected her to. He promised me that he would. I told her I loved her at the altar. What else does she want? No. You get to know somebody. On the surface, you're doing well. When you're dating, remember the days when you were dating? Those days. Oh man, everything was great and grand, and you called each other by certain names, and all your friends and family are going, oh God, disgusting, you know, you're making me sick. I had one of my sisters, and I was dating my wife, and I said, would you come, we went out to dinner and stuff together, and she just, at the end of it, she's like, oh my, you guys make me sick. I mean, what, a smoochie and love, all that, and then what? What, you get married? And sad to say, some of that dwindles. You get to know somebody. I'm talking about today that what? We get to see the true character of God. He revealed who He was. Let me remind you about that. The revelation of the Lord. Revelation in the Bible is one of the most precious gifts that we've been given. Revelation. God has revealed Himself to us. He didn't have to, did He? He didn't have to. You ask me about me, I don't have to tell you anything. That's my own personal thing. I don't got to tell you. You ask me anything about family, friends, finances, I don't got to tell you nothing, right? It's a free country. I don't got to tell. Jesus Christ came because of the character of God. And let me remind you that God is a loving God that loves you unconditionally as you love your children or your spouse. Unconditional. They do wrong things. Yeah, they're going to mess up. Yeah, but you still love them. And God loves you unconditionally. God loves you so much that He would send His only begotten Son. My friends, today the revelation of the Lord, there's something called general revelation and there's something called specific revelation. The general revelation of God is what we look at. It's the stars and the moon, it's the earth, it's everything that we look at. You look at some of that and you go, man, there's got to be something out there that created all of this. There's something more specific, though, called special revelation or specific revelation, where Christ, where the Lord even made it more clear to us by sending His Son, one, but also giving us the Word of God. Specific. Okay, Lord, I know You're out there somewhere, but give me a sign. He says, okay, it's right there in the Bible. Very clear. And I like that. Clear instructions. Remember the days when we didn't have these phones and He had to use the old map? Or when it first came, MapQuest, remember that stinking thing? Never worked. You're going the wrong direction. You've arrived at your destination. No, I haven't. No detail. I don't know where we are, what we're doing, where we're going. And the Lord says, I'll give you specifics about it. And I'll tell you how to get to heaven when you die. I'll show you what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Is it complicated, Lord? Not at all. If today you're here, let me say, I say this almost every message and I try to. You don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. You say, I don't know, Brother Tim, if I were to die tomorrow, heaven forbid, but if I were to, I don't know where I'd go. I would love to take the Bible after the service today and just show you, take 10 minutes of your time, how you can know for sure. It'll be the best day of your life. You need to know. I wouldn't leave that to chance, by the way. Well, we'll see what happens. I wouldn't do that. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and that's why we preach it. We understand the true character of God. He's revealed Himself to us in a very tangible, understandable way. The thief on the cross looked at Jesus and said, "Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Get down first and get baptized and join the church." He doesn't say that, does he? "Make sure you wear the right clothes and part your hair just right." That's what he say. "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Friends, you know it's that easy? It's that easy, by faith. It's the grace of God and our faith. Oh, the grace. You know what grace is? The Bible definition is unmerited favor. But I saw a great story the other day. Grace is getting your hand caught in the cookie jar. And mama comes in. "What are you doing?" "I told you not to get a cookie. And I told you what would happen if you got a cookie." And you, "No, I'm sorry." "Okay, but go ahead and get a cookie, but next time don't do it again." That's grace. When you should get the belt on the backside, but you don't. That's what God's done for us. The unmerited favor. He revealed His true character. His true character. And I want to remind you today that you are as close to God today as you want to be. You're as close to God today as you want to be. Meaning, God's revealed Himself to you. He's revealed Himself and made it very clear. But who's the one that's rejected? Who's the one that's distanced itself? It's me. It's me. Philip came to Jesus one day and he said, "Lord," to Jesus, "show us the Father." He's saying, "Show us God the Father, and it sufficeth us." That word meaning, it satisfies us. "Show us the Father, and Lord, we won't ask any more questions. We'll be satisfied." And Jesus, in His great grace and humility, instead of rebuking him, He said, "Philip, I've been so long time with you, and you don't know this? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus Christ is the Godhead bodily. He's the bodily form of the God. Now you know that. He's revealed His true character. You and I can get close to the Lord. You and I can distance ourselves from the Lord. And Jesus offers it to every human being. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You shall find rest unto your souls." The world today is looking for rest unto their souls, not their body, their soul. That's inside. That's why they smoke. That's rest internally. We don't need rest externally. We often do, but it's internal. And Jesus said, "I'll give you the rest you're looking for in your soul." It's who you are. No other spiritual leader has ever said that. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Seen him. Can I say also, He kept the law for us, not only revealed the true character of God, He kept the law for us and made righteousness available. No man can keep it. As the person came to the pastor one day and said, "What's required to get into heaven?" The pastor said, "Perfection." She said, "Well, I knew it. Bunch of frauds and fakes you are as Christians. Nobody's perfect, therefore no one can get in." He said, "Well, that's where it changes for us. With Jesus Christ, He offers us grace." Grace. The only way you can. Perfection. Sinlessness. But we can't do that. Therefore, we must what? Plead the grace of God. Except the free gift, Paul calls it. It's not something of merit. It's not something you work for. Because that what we work for are good qualities. Isaiah says in Isaiah 64, they're as filthy rags to God. Meaning they're not good enough to a holy, righteous God and a sinful man. Something must bridge that gap, as I said last week. And that person in the middle, our advocate, our propitiation, is Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful. He died for our sins and made righteousness and forgiveness available. We can truly have that gift today, but it takes just simply taking it and receiving it. We have the victory over sin. We can have it today. And I want to encourage you with that. Study the Bible for yourself. Know that you can have that. He arose from the dead and now intercedes for us in heaven. He's promised His return to this earth, by the way. Don't forget that. Now, let's go to Matthew 28, go all the way to the end, and we'll begin to wrap it up here. Matthew 28. He's promised His return. He's promised His return. Now that's called the blessed hope, that one day we're going to be back with the Lord. Some of us sooner than others. And I pray that we prepare for that day. We look forward to the great and wonderful promise. Now notice Matthew 28, verse 18. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Underline that in your Bible. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And here's the best part. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us always. Always. No place. David wrote in the Psalms and says, there's no place I can go to get away from that. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's eternal. That's who we have. The power that's given to the Lord, and we have a God of this world, lowercase G-O-D, 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this world, Satan, who rules and reigns in spiritual high places, who controls most of the world, but we understand something, that God's still on His throne. Jesus Christ is still on His throne. Amen. We know that. And we may get up in arms about the political scenery right now and what's going on, but just remember this, friends, we know who's in control, and we trust that. And now lastly, let me say this. He removed all neutrality toward God among men. You can't be neutral when it comes to Christ, can you? There's a crossroads that you come to, a fork in the road every person comes to, and you choose Christ or you reject. That's as simple as it is. Jesus never came to one individual in the Bible and said, you can be neutral. Lord, I believe, but I also believe this way. That's fine, my son. God bless you and be... No, He never said that, did He? He said, believe. Take it or leave it. Like it or lump it. I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. I'm the life. Exclusive. There's an exclusivity, there's an exclusiveness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want a God that's exclusive. I don't want 15 million gods like the Hindus have. I don't want multiple gods that I have to figure out how to please one and then please the other one. Well, I please this God, but oh, this God's upset with me. I want an exclusive God. I'm thick-headed, man. I don't get things very quickly. I need a God that makes it simple. I needed God to make it very clear to me, what do you want me to do? And Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said, I'm glad you asked that, because here it is, I'm going to tell you. Pilate asked the question as he stood before him about ready to be murdered. And he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What should I do with Jesus, who's called Messiah? The question is asked today. What shall I do with him? He claims to be Messiah, so what do I do with that? There's a man that claims to be the Savior of the world. Again, let me say, you owe it to yourself to figure out who that is. You better find out who that is very quickly. If he claims to be the only way, listen to what he says in John 14, the only way to heaven, the only way. You better find out who that is. And my friends, it's not hard to find. And I would love to help you find that. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Jesus said that. You're not with me, you're against me. He that is not against us is on our part. Will you receive Him today? You can't be neutral. It's a yes or no question. You believe on Him and be saved, or you deny Him and you reject Him. Will you submit your life to Him? No other birth in this world has ever affected this world. No other birth in human history has affected the world. Look around you today. Look around you. What are we celebrating over the next couple of weeks? Some of you started listening to Christmas music 6 weeks ago. Shame on you. Can we listen to Christmas music? I'm like, not yet. Please, not yet. We celebrate it. We rejoice in it. We enjoy it. And I want to encourage you not to miss the whole meaning of it. The whole point of it is the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't just hang Him up on the tree somewhere. Don't put out the little manger scene without understanding what that is, my friend. Know it. Understand it. Do you know Him as your personal Savior today? Will you submit your life to Him? The Bible says very clearly, as a man came to Jesus by night, he said, you must be born again. Born again. That word meaning, you know that, saved, regenerated, regened. Your genes are literally redone. You're born again. I love that. You're born again. Do you know the Lord as your Savior today? Those of you that do know Him, are you serving Him the way you should be? Because understanding this, what ought to stir our hearts is that He truly revealed the character of God. He could have simply walked away and left the cross where it lay. He didn't have to die for our sins. People say, oh, He had to do it. He didn't have to do that. He prayed in that garden, as I've said so many times. You hear a man whispering with those crickets chirping in a dark, black night. You could hear a man bent over whispering a prayer. And it went like this. Lord, if this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And in that cup that he talked about, the proverbial cup, was death and torture and pain and agony, all of that. He said, if it passed from me, but then he says, nevertheless, your will be done, Lord. And he went forward. And the Bible in one account says he went a little further. He went a little further. He went a little further. And he went to the cross for you and for me. He did that. Are you living for him? Do you understand the true character of God is that his love, his grace is available to you today? He's not wanting to punish you. He's not wanting to put you down. We don't understand everything that happens in life. But you need to know something. According to this Bible, God's in control and he loves you. And he cares for you. And he wants to see you saved, and he wants to see you growing, and he wants to see you become one of his own children, fully trusting him. What a benefit, what a joy, what a gift we have today in the wonderful incarnation of our Lord and Savior. Amen? I hope you study it this season. I hope you look at it. I want to encourage you to get into your Bibles. I want to encourage you to get into your prayer, get into a prayer closet, we call it, but pray to the Lord. Start developing a habit of following the Lord that way. And I guarantee you won't regret it. You won't regret it. My friends, we have a Savior that loves us unconditionally and wants to see our lives succeed, wants to see our lives be successful and joyous and peace. He says, I'll give you rest unto your souls. Do you have that today? I'll stop there this morning and let us pray. Lord, thank you for this morning to share your word. Lord, know that no other birth has affected this world like yours. We must, Lord, do ourselves a service and investigate some of these claims for ourselves, investigate a lot of this. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to do that. As we celebrate this season, remind us, convict us, and help us to truly celebrate what it's all about. So many are hustle and bustle around us, and we're spending money and purchasing gifts and things of that nature. And thank you for those blessings, Lord. We're blessed beyond measure, this country to live in. We have so much, an abundance of so many things, but may we not forget what it's truly about. We thank you for your love for us and to us, and we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.